I've been sitting on this letter for a while. I like it. I just, I'm not sure exactly what this person should do. Shirley says, my daughter just turned 2, and honestly, I think she's a genius. She can pick out the keys to Mary Had a Little Lamb on the piano at 2. She's also a whiz at singing her ABCs at 2. She can even count numbers all the way up to 20 at 2. At 2?
Yeah.
I was an expert at number 2. That was basically that was my primary
one
skill.
And two were your specialties.
1 and 2, I was good at 1, but I was really extra specially good at 2.
Uh-huh.
I would rather have my daughter, instead of, it bothers me when she plays with the other kids, I would rather have her stay inside and read and keep pushing her to be smarter, because I think I have a little genius on my hands. Also, am I being too overprotective? I really only want my daughter to play with kids that also show potential to be really intelligent as well. A lot of other parents have told me I'm pressing her too hard already at the age of 2. But I disagree. They're just jealous of my brilliant kid. They want my kid to dumb down so they don't feel bad about theirs. They say things like, let a kid be a kid. Sure, that's all well and good. But when she wins American Idol, I know she's going to enjoy that money as much as hopefully I will, some of it. Also, I think I should point out, my kid actually enjoys learning more than running around outside and doing other unproductive things. If you have an enormously gifted toddler, what's the harm in helping nurture that? Surely. And I think Shirley may be right. I mean, not everyone who is pushed to be an incredible figure skater at a young age goes out and whacks somebody on the knees before the Olympics. I mean,
yeah, there is a downside.
There are some child stars, Danny Bonaducci comes to mind, who, you know, pushed hard and have a life of being uneven. But I think there are many children who are pushed and young. Recently on Oprah, what was the baseball player? They had a baseball player on talking about how he was pushing his son to be a sporting hero. And Oprah was like calling him on the carpet for it, saying, you know, because they rehearse, they practice. Well, you don't call it rehearse when you're throwing the ball with your kid.
You're such a man's man.
They practice for hours and hours a day, and he pushes his kid to be good. And Oprah's film crew came, and maybe someone knows who this is and can tell us. Oprah's film crew went out there and filmed this and then put the sports star on the spot as being an abusive father. If there are no showbiz parents, or what else do you call the parents who push their kids?
Stage moms, stage dads,
sports moms, sports dads. Where will the superstars come from? I'll tell you what. I mean, you all say, ooh, it would be great if I could be a superstar. But you don't get to be a superstar by playing with the dumb kids on the block.
Oh, I don't know about that. There's nothing wrong with putting your kid in programs for gifted kids, be it writing or
acting.
Exactly.
And that program should start at 2. If it warrants it, don't you think?
But not letting them play out in the street with the other kids in the neighborhood. You're going to grow up in a world where you're going to have all kinds of people.
If you're super rich. 1-800-252-1025. I say, if you have a gifted kid, yes, take advantage of it. Push it. Get that kid to be... Hey, let me tell you something. I saw a symphony recently. Boy, the Seattle Symphony Orchestra, fantastic experience. And they whipped out this kid on the piano. The guy was amazing. I'll tell you what. He sucks at video games. I can already tell you, without even meeting his parents, without even seeing how he grew up, he was pushed to play the piano. And he has this amazing, unique life. We strive to make everybody like everybody else. When someone gifted comes along, shouldn't you just... you know, encourage them. Now, I don't mean, like, whip them, and I don't mean, like the mom said, the kid enjoys learning. I don't mean beat on the kid till they don't enjoy it. But should you encourage a gifted kid? Eric?
To a point, I would say yes.
Yeah, to the point where they get to be an Olympic superstar.
Well, I was able to read when I was 3. And I could read the newspaper.
When you say read, what do you mean?
I'm talking reading sentences in a Dick and Jane kind of book. And I was able to read chapter books, 100-page chapter
books. Only
Eric
can make Dick and Jane sound elitist, by the way.
No,
sorry. Anyway.
Less of a man.
But I went outside and played football in the street and played with other kids. And I've got a cousin who is 10 years old right now who was pushed to be smart. And he has a heck of a time relating to quote-unquote normal kids. His social skills are abysmal, and so I'm afraid he's going to get the snot beaten out of him when he gets to high school.
Look, there's you say social abysmal social skills like it's always bad.
well, okay.
Sometimes those of us with abysmal social skills
we thrive.
We thrive in other areas.
You sure do.
And some of people have abysmal social skills, and there ain't no way you're going to help them out with it. There's no way you're going to make them smarter in that area because that's just not where they're gifted. See, you got to go towards where the gift is.
Well, you've got to round it out, though. Eric's right. You know, you practice piano, now get those fingers up your nose for 20 minutes. You know?
Practice eating boogers.
That's right. Come on. Play with the other kids. Relate to the other kids.
D'Artagnan, go ahead.
Hey there. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Brookart!
Come on.
What do you have to say?
You have to cluck like a chicken, or if you're from Oregon, you have to quack like a duck. First-time caller.
You?
Thank you very much.
Nice. All right. Thanks a lot. All right. I don't know. I just graduated from high school, like, 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the gifted classes all through elementary and junior high.
Mm-hmm.
And they turn out some weird folks. And if
gifted
you, like,
people, wait a minute, gifted people are weird. All you have to do is hold up a picture of Einstein to prove that, right?
I don't know. There's a lot of social, like, rejects, basically, where they don't go on to be, like, part of the culture. They go on and they play in symphony. Or really have any friends.
What did you say? They what don't have any friends?
They play in symphonies.
Oh.
But I don't know. I don't think it's a really good thing to push your kid too much.
Too much.
You expose them to books and you do the good parenting thing, but I don't like pushing.
How old are you? D'Artagnan, how old are you?
20.
Thank you, D'Artagnan. 1-800-252-1025. The gifted classes. Remember the gifted classes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure we really knew how to do them back then.
It was a wedgie farm, the gifted class at our school.
Dear Flabby, letter from Shirley, a listener who has an unbelievably gifted daughter. Her daughter just turned 2. She can sing her ABCs. She can count numbers all the way up to 20. She can play Mary Had a Little Lamb on the piano. Listen, she's just amazing. Listen to this. Strange interpretation of Mary Had a Little Lamb. Shirley says, look, I want to make sure my kid plays with smart kids. I want to make sure my kid does not go out and do dumb games because mm-hmm. she loves to learn. I want to take advantage of this young age when her brain is being formed. I want her to get all kinds of skills and achieve this maybe incredible potential. Is that a good idea or a bad idea? 1-800-252-1025. Stephanie is in Forest Grove, Oregon. Stephanie, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good. How many kids you have?
4.
4?
I do.
Which ones are the brilliant ones?
Well, they're all brilliant in their own way, but my oldest is very gifted musically.
Uh-huh.
And she plays violin, cello, harp, and piano. She plays very well by ear, enjoys what she does, and we encourage her very strongly in that. But I also don't do it at the expense of her social life, because I think those are skills that she needs also.
But wouldn't you agree that some gifted kids just are not gifted in the social life areas? Like, if you force them to have a social life, it's going to be wedgie town, it's going to be bad, it's going to be, some of us, don't really have the social skills. They're introverts anyway.
Correct, but don't encourage that by, you know, excluding them from situations where they might benefit from learning.
Right. Well,
I think they put them in with kids that are, they're so smart and they have all those same things, but they also need to learn to get along with normal kids, not normal, or kids who get along differently than
them. I love how you say normal. That's great.
Yeah, don't talk down to them. That last guy we had on, D'Artagnan was his name. If my parents named me D'Artagnan, I'd be afraid to go to the playground, too. I'd be studying, practicing, rehearsing. I'd be inventing stuff. I'd never leave the house.
Now, you say some moderation. I know everybody's going to say some moderation involved. But still, you want to get them in groups of other people that play the piano. You want to get them in groups where they can have friends, as long as their friends are moving them towards, you know, and they'll be happiest if their friends are moving them towards what they're gifted at.
Correct, because what if one day they decide, you know what, I really don't want to do this. I want to learn something else or do something else. You still have to learn to get along with other people.
I agree with the get along with other people. I just don't want to make a chess whiz play football. That's the right off the bat. That's
right.
Terrible.
Right. Well, if they don't want to,
right,
then don't.
I'm going to move like a bishop across the center of the field. Crunch!
Yeah, no, not a pleasant experience.
Thank you, Stephanie. Sarah in Tacoma. Sarah, hello.
Hello. I actually have a six-year-old stepdaughter. She's going to be in second grade. They got her in school pretty early. She's very intelligent, but she doesn't go outside and play with kids. She doesn't watch TV. Her mom doesn't allow her to watch any TV at all. She just sits in a room and reads. No Barbies or anything are allowed, but she just, you know, plays games to help her learn because that's all her mom has given her.
No Barbies allowed?
And no television.
No.
How is a child supposed to know what society is like without television or I'm a celebrity, get me out of here? Those sorts of important lessons are on TV.
And I've seen her around even kids who are 8, 9 years old, and it's even hard for her to play with those kids who, you know, are at the same, I think at the same level she is, but I don't think she has the right social skills. I mean, she is in elementary school and a public school, but I she's an only child, and I think that also had a lot to do with it.
So, Sarah, you would make a pitch for, if this kid is incredibly intelligent, you have to dumb it down a bit so it can fit in.
No, I don't want to say dumb it down.
That's what
a
I
bit,
said.
But
though.
Just get them with other kids,
yeah,
because you don't want to single them out and
Sarah,
keep them in their room.
Sarah,
to
this is where you need to come in. You're her stepmom, right?
Yes.
So you get to spend a little time with her. Hold on,
no.
Teach her to belch words. Teach her to belch words in French if it makes her real mom happier.
Like, for example?
Actually, right. Her mom's got her in Venezuela right now.
Ah, teach her to belch in another language, or maybe make fart noises in key in her armpit.
Her dad does that.
Good.
Well, she sounds fine to me.
Round her out.
Television, yeah. You know, just because she's not up on the latest Deal or No Deal episode, I don't see that as a disaster at all. Really, it might be good for kids. Let's see. Gary next. Gary, go ahead.
Hey, a little bit of the reverse of this. My daughter was in fourth grade and was having a problem. So they had her tested. For anything.
All right. Gary says 12-year-old couldn't spell but had an IQ of 188.
Yeah, so what she was put in special needs classes when she transferred.
She also knows how to jam a phone when someone's talking
I
about
it. I heard that. Wow, your phone's horrible, Gary.
I'm sorry, Gary, can't keep it up. Here is Carl who says, and by the way, all I'm saying is, I'm not saying, you know, lock them in a room. That's, people always go to the extremes.
They
why
really
do they
don't.
Do that? I don't understand why we can't have a little moderation.
I don't know where they get that.
People always jump to extremes. What I'm saying is that nowadays, pushing your kids kind of has a bad name. It's like, oh, they're pushing their kid.
Right.
They should make them play kickball. They should teach them how to play jacks. No, if your kid's really bright, don't waste its time on kickball and jacks. Don't make it go into get tackled by all the big guys. Because all they're going to do is
wedge Seymour, catch this.
Make fun of them.
Yeah, that hurt.
I say pushing your kids is a little underrated now. Yes, you could push them too far. Everybody's going to go to the extremes. Right. We have someone reasonable. Mary, go ahead.
Oh, hi, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, I think I wanted to say that the one caller that said that they have social skills gifted students is just wrong. I mean, it's a myth that there's problems with gifted students. I mean, look at our leaders. Most of them were gifted students. I mean, you can be gifted in so many different ways. And as a parent, because I have three, and that have gone through the gifted programs.
Yes.
And
all three. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let's, Mary, have a bit of applause for you. You spit out three gifted ones in a row.
Same dad?
Fantastic. Same dad, or did you hand-select donors?
No, they're the same dad. The youngest, he's more of an athlete, but the other two were pretty straight academics and just gifted in math, and we'd play math games in the car. And But they always had tons of friends and friends that would do wonderfully creative things with them, put on shows. And so just encouraging them to have those other skills, of course, because they're going to need to be able to, you know, to work with people, sell, you know, make presentations. I mean, all those skills that they're going to need as adults.
So did you try to make sure they mostly played with other scientists and future brain surgeons?
No, of course not. They were in the gifted program, so they made friends with kids
in the gifted program.
That were equally creative.
That's right. We should segregate our children by IQ.
I'm sorry. They do the Center for Talented Youth programs with Johns Hopkins, and those are fun. We do a lot of those.
How old are your children now?
Well, my daughter's 19, and she just finished her first year at William & Mary.
People love calling to say this stuff.
Yeah.
William & Mary. Who are William and Mary, by the way?
The junior is, I'm sending him to Johns Hopkins for the summer,
because
otherwise he's
still
three, you know. So I guess you push them a little bit, but you really don't push them. You just kind of advocate for them, find the programs that they need, what they need for, you know, to kind of help them out. And the youngest, he plays all-star baseball. He's getting his own way. So.
Doing good.
Mary. By the way, William and Mary was King William III and Queen Mary II.
Oh, that's how William and Mary is named.
It's an East Coast school.
Okay, well, I wasn't gifted in that area. Mary, why did you stop procreating? Come on, help the world. We need
Please.
Spit out six
Have
or seven more.
You watched what's on television?
Aren't you
busy.
Catholic? Come on.
Three children, they're just expensive, and you make sacrifices. You know, I find I make sacrifices in my own career for them, and at some point in time, it's just expensive.
Yeah, William and Mary don't come as cheap as the guy who held Paris Hilton's camcorder. That's for sure.
I'm not thinking or anything.
Johns Hopkins
is
John's
like
track and truck.
That's right. Well, Mary, thank you. We have to let someone else on of lesser stature than you. I'm sorry.
Follow her, man.
Jenny, go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to call because I have my daughter was tested in as a gifted child, and she started in kindergarten a year early. She's almost a black belt in Taekwondo, and she's 5 and a half. And, you know, it's like she's still a kid. She can still play with other kids, and she still likes to watch, you know, Barney and things like that. But you still have to, you know, work with her.
What do you mean work with her?
Well, I mean, like, what we do is we make sure that every day we read with her. Actually, she reads now.
Oh, yeah.
So she reads to us. When we're in the car, we do math problems. She loves to come up with math problems.
Right.
You know, we make sure that everything that, you know, we see or that we're working on, I mean, even when we're driving in the car, you know, she might ask us something and we don't take the...
Some people think that's pushing and that's wrong, that you shouldn't be doing it.
That's crazy. Because, I mean, that is the kind of attitude that's making us go so far below the rest of you know,
the
civilized world.
Yeah.
That's right. We need to push our kids more throughout this great land of ours, right?
I agree, actually.
All right, thank you.
Because,
why are we wasting all summer letting them sit home? Let's put them back in class right now.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much biology.
Speaking of gifted, lots of high school seniors received diplomas. I would guess that Josephine Belasco might be the most senior of them all. Josephine graduated from San Francisco's Galileo High School after, 80 years ago, she dropped out. That's right, 80 years ago, she dropped out. At 98 years young, Josephine Belasco is a high school graduate. Congratulations, Josephine, and welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. Hi, Josephine.
How are you?
Good
morning.
Good morning.
I'm just getting up.
You're just getting up now, yeah. Congratulations on your new diploma.
Thank you.
How hard was it to go to school and graduate at age 98?
98.
That's what they told us. Is that how old you are, Josephine?
98.
Yes.
My birthday, 11/1/07.
What's 49 plus 49, Josephine?
Just Mike wants to give you a test. What's 49 plus 49?
My street.
Your street?
Is what did you ask me?
Oh, it's probably a little hard for her to hear.
I'm sorry.
So when you got the diploma, how long did you have to work to get it? How long did you go back to school for?
Oh, we had a couple of sessions, and they decided that with all my experience in 15 years, I knew enough. So it was a very short session.
So you didn't have to go to gym class and shower with the other girls.
No. It was something I always wanted, and was reminiscing with the family one night, because I thought they should know a lot of little things in the back. They're always so busy, they never had time to talk. And I started to talk about my education. I said, well, you know, I had to leave school because we needed the money in them days. Not only that, but started to work, and I got this job, and they liked me. They kept me there. And then in 1942, I went back to work on account of the war. War broke out. The boys were drafted, and they needed all the women. So I worked in Transamerica for 36 years, and I retired as an accountant and did a little traveling. But I had a lot of problems with sicknesses here, taking care of my mother and my father. My sister was selfish.
So you never had you never had a chance.
So I thought when I retired, I would pick it up and go to school. I'd have time. But I had my husband very ill. He had 3 brain operations. He needed a lot of care. And here I am now with so I was telling my grandson, Marcello Belasco, and I said, so, you know, I feel very bad, Marcello. I never did go back and get my diploma. And that's always on my mind, that why didn't I get to it? So he called his father, at the Belasco Theater. He teaches young adults different plays. So she says, I never heard that, but we'll have to do something. So he took me to Galileo High School and asked the principal there what I do to earn my diploma.
98 years old, they just gave her high school diploma.
A little few instructions what to do.
Right.
And they carried on from there.
All right.
Did you get a chance to meet a lot of the other girls, the seniors that are in this year's graduating class?
Oh, my God. I'm in a whirlwind here. This phone never rings. Calls from all over the United States. I'm going to have... I'm supposed to see the governor. He's supposed to call for a date. He wants me to go to Sacramento.
Governor Schwarzenegger wants a date with you.
Help him with his English when you get him on the phone.
He's supposed to call us, so we're supposed to go down there. Mm-hmm. And next week we're going... Jim Campbell's show, and all these talk shows for the radios, they've been calling me from Ohio, all over the states. I can't believe why all this thing happened.
Well, in Ohio, they can't believe anybody got a high school diploma.
Germany called.
And then Germany, yesterday, the other morning, this girl, a woman calls, and she wanted me, and I said, and I told her it was me. Oh, she said, it's you? I said, yeah. I said, who's calling? She acted like she was an old personal friend of mine. And then I said, why are you a friend of mine, personal? Oh, no. She said, I'm from Europe, and I want to interview you. Well, I got very nervous and all, so I gave her my son's number.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Watch out for the...
I don't know if I heard right.
Yeah.
Germany. I mean, you were back there in the 40s.
Oh, imagine that. Watch out for calls from Nigeria, too. Just a warning in case you have emails.
Well, I just don't know. I'm tired of all these calls now. A chance to do anything.
Yeah, I think we should go.
It's a wonderful thing that happened, but I never would dream anything like that would have come of it.
Josephine, you graduated from Galileo High School, is that right?
Galileo High School.
What was he really like, Galileo? You met him originally, right?
I was.
Never mind.
Did you know Galileo? He was making a joke, Josephine. You laugh. You get jokes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And Josephine, before we go, because I know you're very, very busy and you could be a little tired.
When I walked in there, in the principal's office.
Oh, here she goes.
It was different to me because since then, I guess it was just complete. We were the first students that entered in the school at the time and still had a lot of things to be finished. And they had now it looks beautiful with all the trees and shrubberies and the ROTC was practicing in the outside. It was beautiful. And our students were much older than they are now.
All right. Josephine?
Anybody went to Yeah.
Josephine, what I'm curious. I want to get a little observation from you. It's very rare that we have to talk to someone, get to talk to someone who's almost 100 years old, literally seen almost a century of human life and human living and the changes that have taken place in America. What do you, what's a big difference, would you say, between kids at 19, 20 years old back in the 20s, early 20s, than the year 2000? How has the world changed since 1920 to 2000? And do you think...
You mean the school?
Not just schools, just the whole world and the people and how they treat each other. Are we getting better or worse?
That's what I was trying to say. Yeah. The school looked beautiful, and I noticed that our students, they were much younger than ours were.
Younger.
In our days, we were all about 18, 19 years old in that school. I guess everybody started later in school, because there was no law. After that, they had the law that everybody had to go to school at 6 years. At six years old, as I know, I started school at seven, so I was much older in high school.
Another difference.
Everybody else was the same.
Josephine, another difference today.
They were very polite, and the boys were very, very good. The people were very nice, all those students. I notice now that there's a combination of all nationalities, which we didn't have
that
time,
then.
You
right.
know. Okay. But they're more active than we were. At the school, we just walked, we talked nice and was quiet. Now they're running around and chasing one another.
Chasing one another,
hands
running
around. Down around their ankles.
That's right.
So that's the difference I found.
Okay.
There's a lot
more liberal.
There's a lot more kind of modern stuff these days, too, like computer classes. Did you take any computer classes, or have you learned much about computers?
No, I never got into that. I wanted to get to learn about. I never got into it.
You don't have a MySpace page or anything like those other seniors, huh?
Yeah, I just did my own bookkeeping all the time.
She's got her spaces,
and
her bookkeeping.
I was just used to it, bringing me an accountant. I didn't bother with the computer because I would have, but I was interested in it, but I never had the time to do it because I was working, I was taking care of Velasco's children. I had three small children, was left alone with them.
Very nice.
And I was taking care of my husband that was sick. So I never had the time.
Right.
They even had like free lessons at the senior centers, which I was interested in going.
But
I didn't make that either.
All right. Josephine, you know, nowadays women are expected to go on to college. Didn't used to be that way. What college are you going to go to?
I didn't get that.
Do you want to go to college? These days women go on to college.
No, I guess. I feel satisfied with this.
Okay.
We know.
I'd be gone to college.
Josephine, I want to give you a rest because I know that you mentioned it's been pretty taxing.
I have to ask you to repeat sometimes because we have the cable car here. And passes and makes so much noise and ding-ding-danging.
Cable car.
Ding-ding-dang-dang, yeah.
But anyway, what was your last question?
Oh, I just wanted to say congratulations. I know you're getting a lot of interviews, and I want to wish you well.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. It's a tremendous accomplishment. Savor it.
Okay. Do you want to talk to Eddie again?
Sure.
Hang on. Mike, you talk to Eddie. Okay. Are you a snob? Some people are snobs, you know, they buy things specifically for snob value. Recently, one of our show members has been snubbed for being a snob for something he owns that he thought he was buying strictly to be a good citizen of the planet. Can you guess who it was?
Be a good citizen of the planet.
Something that he bought not as a status symbol, but something that he bought to be a good citizen of the planet, and he's finding that people are snubbing him for it, you know.
Does he say greetings?
Yes, it's Eric.
Well, I knew it wasn't me when it was for the benefit of the planet.
I know, I started to think it was Spike until you got to that part.
Took me right out of the water.
Eric, and I've thought about this, and bully for him for actually jumping on it. Eric purchased a hybrid car recently, a Toyota Prius. Actually, is the probably the coolest one. Well, the Honda makes them. Ford makes them now, right?
Yep, they certainly do.
Have you smelled the exhaust on a Ford lately? And now there's a side story to what's going on in South Park with this, right?
Yeah, there certainly is, and it's not something that I've seen because I don't have a television. But Spike and Joe both saw an episode recently.
So the deal is, one of the kids in South Park's parents buys a hybrid, and they're just feeling superior to everybody. So they go around the parking lots of the mall and issue tickets. They write their own tickets to the mall for hurting the environment tickets. And they actually have to move out of South Park to some place that cares more about the environment. They move to San Francisco, where everybody drives a hybrid. Well, eventually the people of South Park get smart, and they all buy hybrids, too. And everybody in town's trying it, buying it. Good for you. They're all, good for you.
You've got a hybrid.
Good for you. Yeah. Way to go. Good for you. Well, the air's better, but this intense layer of smug covers the city and pollutes and blocks out the sun.
Instead of smog, they call it smug.
Yeah, pretty great.
You're a little bit smug.
I am?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that. And in a very, you know, I don't want to hurt anybody with it kind of a way, but you always look at other people and go, I'm a bit above them. I don't have their problems.
Really?
Yep. I've told him that.
Careful, babe. Give it to him gently.
I think we finally found Eric's blind spot.
Yeah. I feel bad because I tell Eric things sometimes. I'm kind of pushing his buttons to see when he's going to finally react, because he never seems to react. And so I'm glad that somebody else besides me. Yesterday was actually the first time Eric's ever reacted. I was giving him a bad time, and we're getting out of Bob's plan, and he just looks at me and he says, "You should be glad I'm not a violent man."
Wow, what did she do other than talk constantly?
I know.
She always does. What was it?
I'm trying to think. It was something really minor, and I just thought I would say that to see what she would do. But it's literally a constant barrage from Casey.
She talks a lot, yeah.
Well, no, she's trying to get me. She's trying to rattle me, which is sort of a microcosm of the way that men and women tend to interact. And I won't go off on this, except to say that women...
Oh, God, here we go again.
Except it's almost women's job to see whether or not they can make their men react. And the idea is, if you're a man, don't react, because if you do, then you're showing the woman that you're weak.
So when a woman says something challenging to me, I should just ignore it?
Well, don't let it rattle you.
Don't let it rattle me.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I'm a man. I like being rattled. That's, let's get ready to rumble. That's what men are for. We don line up in armies, and we rattle our swords, and we go after whatever problem it is, and we try to conquer it and fix it.
Right.
Women know that.
They do. But sometimes they'll just see if they can mess you up, get you off your game.
But see, I just am trying to test Eric to see if he's human.
See if there's
Seriously.
Actual human, not a robot in there.
Right. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be easier just to grab one of his hairs and have it tested?
So Eric bought a Prius because he is a little bit smug. He is a little bit, I have the high IQ, I have the perfect SAT scores, I have the perfectly fit body, washboard abs. I'm metrosexual, but not concerned about it because you people worry about those sorts of things.
Doesn't waste his time on television.
Doesn't watch television. Television is beneath me. That is all true. And
travel the world.
You are a bit smug. I totally didn't think about that until South Park figured it out for me. And so he buys a Prius because he wants to be able to basically watch Al Gore's movie and not feel guilty.
And at the end of the movie, they do say, buy a hybrid if you can. They don't say everybody can
if
afford it.
If you can.
But yeah,
or a hitchhike.
That's a good thing to do.
And so what's been happening lately, according to South Park, is that some people who have Priuses are being snubbed. They're actually taking a little flack on the roads. Little, I wouldn't call it road rage, road noogies. And Eric says this has happened to him.
Oh, it has. It's really weird because I got the car for Monique.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And she was talking about how often driving back from work, she would run into all kinds of incidents on the road where people would be literally on her tail or they would cut her off. And usually they were very large SUVs. And I tended to think that it could be the way she's driving, perhaps, not giving enough following distance, not signaling well, or maybe when you're looking at big trucks.
In other words, my wife's a crappy driver. driver, and I thought that might be the problem.
Or sometimes men in big trucks tend to act a certain way toward women in cars.
So or towards cars that they feel are very effeminate, like, watch me gobble up this Prius.
Exactly. But then, I've been driving it the past few days, and the same thing's happening to me. People are cutting me off, they're right on my tail. And this doesn't happen when I drive my Hobbit SUV. So it's definitely the car.
His Hobbit SUV, for the uninitiated, is a Toyota RAV4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is basically just, it's the poor little SUV that was the runt of the litter. It's not really an SUV. It's more like a Le Car with an SUV body on it.
Gets great gas mileage.
It does.
He's so smug.
But the thing is, though, that I noticed that it's not the car. It's not the driver, I should say. It's the car. Because ever since I switched to the Prius, people are just after me if they're driving trucks or big SUVs.
Give me a little bit more specific. Cutting you off?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They'll try to move into my lane on the freeway while I am in it. They will come right up on my tail. And
as if you're a leaf they could just drive over.
Exactly. And they give me this weird kind of nasty look as they pass me. Like, how dare you make me feel bad for driving in my monster truck?
I don't think it's as much the economy or the environmental impact the Prius has. I think it's the equivalent of a 97-pound weakling on the beach. The Prius is so small and so compact compared to all the cars.
It's not that small. There's lots of other small cars.
A whole batch is coming that's smaller, too, next year.
Smaller ones?
Oh, yeah, really small cars.
Well, compared to the things that are cutting them off, these
monster
trucks.
Oh, yeah, well, compared to the people who are sucking oil out of the planet, right. Like they don't care if it lasts even for their nephews and nieces.
And on the freeway, they're kicking sand in his face.
And don't you worry, Eric, small is going to be cool. You know, Yugo was never cool. Le Car was never cool. Civic was never cool. You were shunned as a small car driver in the 70s and 80s. But in the year 2007, small is going to be in. The little guys are going to be the cool guys. That's going to be the ones the kids are going to want to pull up in front of the school with the mom and dad. Because those are the ones that are going to be doing the right thing. And if you've got a big land yacht, you're going to be, oh, poor family can't afford a small car, you know.
Eric tootles around in his Toyota Prius, smugly knowing that he is putting perfume into the air, not pollution. Ah.
Was that a Prius that went by?
Mm. Oh, it smells like flowers.
Minty fresh.
I'm helping the planet. Eric needs something more for his Prius. He needs some bumper stickers. We're going to gussy it up. Bumper stickers that say things like, SUV owners are pigs.
That'll get some love.
What else do you have? There's a few online, right?
Honk if you hate SUVs, but you got to cross out honk and write the word cough.
Cough if you hate SUVs.
I have one. I have a good one.
A good what?
Bumper sticker.
Oh, I thought you were trying to say there was a good SUV, because there isn't.
No, I don't have an SUV. I could never own an SUV. How about just, I'm Eric and you're not?
I'm Eric and you're not. I'm above all the rest of you. Yes, Eric.
Maybe I should just put a big bullseye bumper sticker on my car.
Now that is an idea.
He says he's experiencing Prius road rage because people resent the fact that he's driving a Prius. Is that true? 1-800-252-1025. Mike borrows his mom's hybrid. What happens?
So every time I drive this thing, I have the same problem. And I think it's kind of a compound problem. The first thing is when you're driving these things trying to get the mileage, you're driving like Miss Daisy on Sunday. So basically the thing has become the old air-cooled Volkswagen bus back in the 70s and 80s. You know, you see one of these things on the road and all you want to do is pass it. It doesn't matter how fast it's going, you just want to cut it off.
It's true. Thank you, Mike. Josh, go ahead. Do you have Prius resentment?
Well, I kind of agree with the last caller. It's like, it's the Volkswagen. I mean, I was just wondering if they go more than 50 miles an hour because, you know, on the freeway, it's all you can do is cut them off. And I drive truck, and, you know, I'm always getting stuck behind them and just wondering.
To you, Prius is just a speed bump.
And they give you the holier than outlook, you know. It's like,
yeah. All right, so do you run them over a lot?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you do. Just run right by them, cut them off.
Yeah, and then they look at you like,
hey.
You know, I don't know. It's just weird.
We'll get them like their little bugs for
Josh has really put this into very into clarity for us. Thank you, Josh. Linda?
So, I mean, they look at you like, I don't know.
Hey, Linda.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, Linda.
Yes. I'm from Graham, Washington, and my husband drives a Prius at work, but I really don't have a comment about that. I have a 65 Corvette that's just, I'm hounded by Honda drivers. I've had people pass me on the shoulder. I also have an SUV, a Tahoe, and they do the same thing. I'm a very courteous driver. I think it's the people who drive the cars. I don't think it's the kind of car they drive. That's
but, so you say
my opinion.
There are some smug people like Eric who are hounding you for basically guzzling gas.
Oh, no. I have no opinion about whatever kind of car people drive. My 65 Corvette, I had the engine rebuilt. It uses unleaded fuel. I mean, I keep it up. I keep my cars. They don't pollute. And I think anybody who wants to buy whatever they would like should buy it, just as long as they're courteous on the highway.
Be courteous on the highway. Thank you for that wonderful thought, Linda. Dave.
Yeah. You know what I think? I think that the speedometers on those Prius are set low so that you get better gas mileage, and they're not driving the speed limit. I think it's a conspiracy by the automaker.
Wow. Toyota wants you to think you're going 60 miles an hour.
Fabulous. Look at the mileage we're getting.
Yeah, because if you go faster, you're not going to get the mileage, you know, and they're in all the lanes, so, you know, hey. You're going to have to do whatever you have to do to go the speed limit and get where you want to go when you have to get there.
So you would say that Prius owners are being duped. They're not really helping the planet at all. They're just buying into this image.
That could be part of the conspiracy theory.
Thank you. Don in Auburn. Don says, Prius drivers balance out my Nova. Go ahead, Don.
Oh, absolutely. I treat these guys with respect because they're saving the gas so I can drive my 454 Nova around for years to come.
How nice of you. Danny says?
I think the underlying factor is it's Prius envy.
Prius envy.
Yeah.
Oh, there's another bumper sticker. Hey, by the way, anybody has bumper sticker ideas, email them in. We're going to doctor up Eric's car with
nice.
Really incendiary bumper stickers and see if we can get this thing going. Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, I was wanted to say that my wife and I own a 2003 Honda Civic Hybrid, and
Civic.
We never have any problems with people cutting us off. And I noticed that the Priuses go a little slower, and I don't know what that is, but I mean, my wife's car, the Hybrid, it doesn't have the guts to get on the freeway and to go up hills like my car does, but I mean, it moves.
So you think it's just the Prius? Even other hybrid owners don't like the Prius.
And that speedometer guy may be right. Because,
you really think they doctored the speedometer?
Back in the 70s, my dad had a Corolla, and it was 5 miles different.
Todd says, no big problem with hybrids. He just thinks they should be banned from the fast lane.
That's right. There's a specific lane that these guys should use, and it's called the shoulder. The only thing I have a problem is with it, with the Prius, is like others have mentioned, is that they can't accelerate to get out of their own way. And I drive a Suburban, and if they make a Prius that has a tow hitch on the roof that I could tow my boat with, then I'll buy one. But until then, I gotta drive a Suburban.
Suburban got a bumper sticker on the back that says Alaskans for Global Warming.
No, but I'm still trying to pick a Prius out of the back hitch, whereas the rear.